Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Quick Hits, the Palette of America Roundtable. The Museum of the Southwest has scheduled the Palette of America Roundtable discussion of America's roots and the color that made up its foundation from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. today at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street, Midland. Roundtable will include Javed Anwar, founder, Midland Energy Incorporated, the Petroplex Energy Incorporated, Don L. Evans, former Secretary of Commerce, current Chairman, George W. Bush Foundation, Jennifer Collins, Director, Bush Institute, SMU Economic Growth Initiative, George W. Bush Institute, and Kenneth A. Hirsch, President and Chief Executive Officer, George W. Bush Presidential Center. Cost is $15 for adults and free for students with valid student ID presented at the door with registration. The event will include a special viewing of the Out of Many, One by President George W. Bush exhibition from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Museum of the Southwest. Admission is free with panel ticket. Visit museumsw.org. Fundraiser reception. A fundraising reception for the campaign to re-elect Clarissa Webster for district clerk will take place from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. February 8th at the home of Amy and Cal Hendricks, 2301 Landau Lane. Donations may be mailed to the same address, made in person at the reception or made online at clarissawebster.com/donate. For more information, call Clarissa Webster at 432-425-4307 or Cal Hendrick at 432-638-2955. Town Hall. Ector County Judge Candidate Dustin Fawcett has scheduled at 6 p.m. today at the Ector County Community Center, 4455 West Apple Street. For more information, email dustin@dustinfawcett.com or visit tinyurl.com/BDEHYRRF. Candidate Forum. A county judge and county commissioner's candidate forum has been scheduled at 6:30 p.m. today at the Odessa Country Club, 1 Fairway Drive. There is no charge to attend. Candidate Debate. The Gavin Norris Law Office has scheduled a candidate debate for the Precinct 4 Justice of the Peace candidates and the Precinct 4 County Commissioner's candidates from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. today at the Woodson Community Center, 1020 East Murphy Street. This nonpartisan event is open to the public and will be live streamed via the Gavin Norris Law Office Facebook page. Community members are encouraged to submit questions for the candidates via email to gdnorrislaw@gmail.com. The submission deadline for questions is noon Monday. For more information, contact Attorney Gavin Norris at 432-878-4792 or email gdnorrislaw@gmail.com. Live debates. Basin PBS has scheduled 4 upcoming debates happening live at the Anwar Family Studio at Basin PBS. Candidates will take to the Basin PBS studio floor for a one-hour debate each. The community is encouraged to submit questions for each debate via the Basin PBS Facebook page. Basin PBS will ask as many questions as they are able. Moderators for the debates are Becky Ferguson, Basin PBS board member, Pat Canty, publisher of the Odessa American, and Emily Holiva, President of the League of Women Voters of Midland. Today, 7 p.m., Midland County Judge Candidates Terry Johnson and Jonah Smoot. Wednesday, 7 p.m., State Senate District 31 candidates Stormy Bradley, Jesse Quackenbush, Tim Reed, and Kevin Sparks. Thursday, 7 p.m., Ector County Judge candidates Debbie Hayes, Justin Fawcett. February 14th, 7 p.m., Texas House of Representatives District 81 candidates Casey Gray and Brooks Landgraf. In addition to their broadcast on Basin PBS, each debate will stream on the Basin PBS Facebook page and on basinpbs.org. Follow Basin PBS on Facebook for more on news, events, and programming. Facebook.com/BasinPBS. Oil and Gas Workers Association endorses Kinsey. The 45,000-member strong Oil and Gas Workers Association, OGWA, has endorsed Aaron Kinsey for Texas State Board of Education, District 15. Their primary is March 1st. Education is the key. Often we pay attention to the big national and state elections and overlook county judge, district attorney, city council, and school board races. We must place equal importance on every election that impacts our children's future, our oil and gas jobs, every state, and our nation, rooting out Marxist, racist, anti-American content in our public education system is a big task, and Aaron Kinsey has answered the call. Matt Coday, OGWA president and founder, said in a news release confirming his support of Kinsey. In addition to OGWA, Kinsey has also been endorsed by Texas Right to Life, PAC. PSP Partnership will support veterans. Permian Strategic Partnership and America's Warrior Partnership are joining forces to increase support of the 20,000 veterans across the region. Every veteran community has unique needs and challenges. By partnering with the Permian Strategic Partnership, we will be able to truly understand how we can help and support this veteran population by enhancing the efficacy of community resources to meet those needs, America's Warrior Partnership President and CEO Jim Lorraine stated in a news release. In a virtual news conference Monday, Lorraine said he got connected with PSP and the Basin by Midland Mayor Patrick Payton. They were classmates at the Presidential Leadership Scholarship Program, Lorraine said. Tracy Bentley, President and CEO of Permian Strategic Partnership, said PSP funded an analysis performed by America's Warrior Partnership. The analysis found that the area's existing veterans support services could be enhanced and bolstered by creating our own program customized to fit the needs of our local veterans, Bentley said. So using this information, America's Warrior Partnership is building and implementing a customized program using the framework of their community integration model with Permian Basin communities to proactively connect with the veterans population and ensure access quality services and opportunities. They will work to create a strong and engaged military community that keeps residents connected and thriving, Bentley added. Veterans across the Permian Basin, she said, represent an essential part of our culture and our workforce. We are deeply invested in improving their quality of life by helping them meet their personal and career goals. We know this partnership will allow us to achieve these objectives, and we look forward to seeing our military community grow while strengthening the entire region in the process, Bentley said. The goal is to make the basin the most veteran-friendly region in the nation. It's good for our neighbors, our companies, and our economy, Bentley said. Lorraine said Payton called him and said they wanted to attract more veterans to the Permian Basin to work in the workforce. That's when Payton introduced Lorraine to Bentley and her team. That's where we went into the first phase, and I have to tell you that we found in the Permian Basin, as Tracy said, is people with big hearts, hearts the size of Texas, that have a passion for your neighbors, Lorraine said. He said there were a lot of programs, but not a lot of connectivity among the organizations. So what we did was we did that assessment. We went into New Mexico, we went across the Midland-Odessa region and visited with veterans, went to the local VA services, went to the local places where veterans would work, and then we went out to the companies and talked to the companies. Again, it reaffirmed with us that Permian Basin was a place, a great place for veterans to come to when we could help your community organize itself and improve the quality of life for veterans while also using our network nationally to tell those transitioning out of the military or those living in other areas of the country who are looking for an opportunity that the Permian Basin was a place to move to and a place to bring your family and a place to settle down and to stay and work in the workforce, Lorraine said. America's Warrior Partnership has a four-step plan to do this. Connect. AWP connects with the veterans of the community, gets to understand who they are, what they want to do, and how they want to move forward in their lives, Lorraine said. What we find in our community is that 85% of the veterans want to help. They want to give back. They want to be more part of the community. So we'll provide opportunities to do that. And then there are also those veterans who are struggling, and so we'll work with those veterans and existing community programs to plug them in and to not only help them in housing or employment or education, but also to help them move to the next level, Lorraine said. Educate the veteran about opportunities that they have. Educate the community about opportunities that they have with veterans and why they're such a value to the community. Advocate. Advocate on behalf of the veteran when they hit a barrier and advocate on behalf of the Permian Basin about being the most veteran-friendly community in the country. Collaboration. Where we see ourselves in the connective tissue between community-based resources and veteran and their family and how to move forward, Lorraine said. We look forward to being part of the community and the people that we hire to work there will all be from Permian Basin. We also are looking forward to working with the companies who are partners with the Permian Strategic Partnership and companies within the local community. We want them to know they will be taken care of at every step, Lorraine said. He added that their approach is that the best recruiter for a community and for a company are veterans who are already living there. And if you work with them, improve their quality of life, help their families feel comfortable in what they're doing and the community that they live in, then they're the best advertisers to encourage others to come in, Lorraine added. Bentley said, what PSP loved about America's Warrior Partnership is that it encompasses the whole family and asks what resources the spouse needs to fully integrate them as a family. We know research says that when your family is happy, things go much better and you're more inclined to stay somewhere versus if one spouse is happy or not. So it's really a holistic approach and we really like that, Bentley said. Lorraine said the program is for all veterans regardless of era or period of service and make it easier to access resources. One of the things that we find is that most veterans don't really have a very good understanding about what they've earned in terms of VA benefits, community benefits, and state benefits. We're here to educate them about those opportunities to improve their quality of life and move forward, Lorraine said. He said they have already started hiring in their search for a leader. The Permian Basin will be our ninth community that we've done this work in, and the number one factor that we find that we need is a really good leader, he added. They will then hire other staff. Most of our effort is in outreach, getting to know who the veterans are in the community, and then on the other side, working with existing programs within the community to best use their resources to help the veterans, Lorraine said. Bentley said, the partnership fits in nicely with its initiatives. For us, it hits square on with our workforce development priorities area, along with the health and education. Also, we think this is going to improve the health of our workforce and certainly provide a huge component of education when it comes not only to the veterans, but the entire community on what it means to be supportive of our military veterans. So it's a beautiful fit for PSP, Bentley said. Man charged with assaulting sister, common law wife. An Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit detailed a 52-year-old assaulted his common law wife and sister and held both in confinement. Gregory Cotto was charged with two counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, family violence, a second-degree felony, and unlawful restraint, a Class A misdemeanor. The assaults were reported to OPD at 2:35 a.m. February 4th in the 1500 block of Spur Avenue, the affidavit stated. Officers say they arrived at the listed residence and made contact with victims Shannon Stowe and Christina Boatwright. Stowe and Boatwright told police that Cotto had assaulted them and held them against their will. Boatwright is Cotto's lawman call wife, while Stowe is Cotto's sister. Stowe told police that Cotto had arrived home intoxicated and began verbally arguing with both her and Boatwright. Cotto became overly aggressive and began striking Stowe in the head with his fist, headbutted his head against hers, and threatened to kill them with a broken wood shovel handle with a sharp tip. Stowe also told police that Cotto said he was ready to die and he was going to hell with them both going with him. Boatwright corroborated Stowe's story and stated while Cotto was assaulting Stowe that she attempted to intervene and defend Stowe from being assaulted by Cotto, the affidavit stated. Boatwright stated when she intervened that Cotto began striking her with his fist in her head and struck her left forearm with the wood shovel handle while he was making the deadly threats. Stowe and Boatwright told police that Cotto restrained them by holding them within the confinement of the house and didn't allow them to leave or contact anyone outside. Stowe was eventually able to escape after Cotto had fallen asleep. Officers saw injuries on both Boatwright and Stowe, which corroborated their claims of the incident, the affidavit stated. Stowe had clearly visible swelling to her forehead and an injury to her left hand with swelling and fresh colored bruising. Boatwright had injuries to her nose and fresh visible bruising to her left forearm. Cotto was arrested and booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on February 4th, jail records show. He has four bonds totaling $63,000 and was still in custody as of Monday afternoon. Man charged with threatening family. A 36-year-old man was arrested after police say he threatened a family and damaged his ex-girlfriend's house. Aaron Mobley was charged with criminal mischief, a state jail felony, and terroristic threat, a Class B misdemeanor. The reported incident happened around 6:01 p.m. February 2nd in the 6900 block of Kate Reed Drive, an Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit stated. The caller told dispatch that a man, identified as Mobley, was throwing furniture in the street and threatened to kill the complainant's family. The complainant, identified as Josh Dickens, told police that Mobley was at the 7200 block of West Pyle Ranch Road, and he was throwing items in the roadway. Dickens told police that when he looked at Mobley, he grew irate and started throwing metal objects across the street. The affidavit stated that Mobley advanced toward Dickens and stated that he would blow all you bleep away while pointing his finger at him in the shape of a gun. Dickens told police that he grabbed a weapon of his own and advised Mobley to back away. Mobley is the ex-boyfriend of Stella Newby, who is the homeowner of the listed property at the 7200 block of West Pyle Ranch Road, the affidavit stated. Officers saw Mobley exit the home and re-enter quickly as officers attempted to make contact with him. Officers made contact with Mobley at the front door and detained him once there was an opportunity as he was extremely irate. Once Mobley was detained, police saw the home had significant damage, ranging from broken electronics, kitchen appliances, home decor, door, and sheetrock, the affidavit stated. Officers contacted Newby, who stated that Mobley didn't have permission to damage the above property. Mobley was arrested and booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on February 2nd, jail records show. He has two bonds totaling $7,000 and was still in custody as of Monday afternoon.
This column is called Small Bites. It is entitled, Odessa Chuckwagon Gang Gears Up for 35th Annual In-Person Shrimp Fest Fundraiser. Groups make six appetizers for sponsor party, Shrimp Fest recipe for general public. By J.C. Lewis, Midland Reporter Telegram. The 35th Annual Shrimp Fest Fundraiser will start at 7 p.m. on February 28th at the Ector County Coliseum, Building G. This is the Ellen Noel Art Museum's largest fundraiser. It will be an in-person event, and officials are ready to serve up shrimp to attendees after having to go virtual last year. Shrimp Fest is a Cajun-style shrimp feast with all-you-can-eat shrimp, raffles, and a silent and live auction, which includes vacations, hunting trips, beauty products, jewelry, and pieces by local artists. Odessa Chuckwagon Gang chef Gabe Gruel has been in charge of making sure the shrimp is ready for Shrimp Fest since 2006. The fundraiser serves about 1,000 people, and the Odessa Chuckwagon Gang prepares anywhere from 1,200 to 1,500 pounds of shrimp every year. Those of us that have done Shrimp Fest for years, it's our baby, Gruel said. I really missed it last year, and I'm looking forward to it this year. Shrimp Fest started 35 years ago with a recipe based on Pascal's Manali restaurant in New Orleans. The recipe is now called the Shrimp Fest recipe and is still served today, Gruel said. The event started at a restaurant in town, then grew and grew until it moved to the Ector County Coliseum, he said. Now we make six different appetizers for the sponsor party for those who buy a table so they can come early. Then we open the doors and serve the big Shrimp Fest recipe. Shrimp Fest event chairperson Sandra Blades said she expects the event to be bigger and better than previous years because people are ready to get out and have fun. It is an event we do every year, but it has so many components to it, she said. You not only get all the shrimp you can eat, and sponsors get to partake before the main event, but we also have a raffle featuring five designer purses like Louis Vuitton and Gucci, as well as a $1,000 gift card to buy a rifle, gun, or hunting bow. Blades said the community has been generous this year by donating amazing items for the silent auction. The live auction will feature jewelry and vacation trips. The Ellen Noel Art Museum is a nonprofit organization that relies on fundraisers like Shrimp Fest to help supplement the funding it receives through donations, memberships, and grants. With the funding, the museum supports 9 to 12 rotating exhibitions, educational programs, free community events, and maintenance of the sensory garden and grounds. All profits from the event help sustain educational programs like Art to Go for second graders, free community art days, and the Fine Arts Connection field trips for third graders. General admission begins at 7 p.m., but an exclusive sponsor-only cocktail reception will be held from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. The Ellen Noel Art Museum will also have another exciting event coming up for foodies. In conjunction with the Salvador Dali exhibit, the museum will be hosting a private tasting dinner featuring recipes from Dali's cookbook, Le Diner de Gala. The museum has asked several chefs from around town to create a amuse-bouche, a small, usually one- or two-bite dish inspired by Dali's recipes. The dinner will be on March 10th, and more information is to follow. The Bites. Join Beyond Balanced Financial Planning for a free wine and cheese pairing at 4:30 p.m. Thursday at Second Story Co-working, while also learning tips to bring finances into balance. The Tailgate will have a Super Bowl Sunday party starting at 11 a.m. with a pregame DJ, barbecue, burgers, tacos, drink specials, beer pong, and more. Entry is free. Pi Social has started an all-you-can-eat pizza buffet every Wednesday. Adults are $19.99 and kids are $7.99. The restaurant also announced a Super Bowl watch party. Table reservations can be made by calling 432-247-1711. Have breakfast with Cinderella during Midland Community Theater's Cinderella's Royal Breakfast. There are two opportunities for this special event. Enjoy a hot breakfast buffet and Midland root beer, along with an assortment of juices and coffee. General seating is $50 per person. Reserved seating is $500 for a table of eight. That includes waiter service and mimosas for adult members of the party. Cinderella and her prince will be in attendance for meet and greets and photo opportunities. Dressing up is encouraged. Reserve seats from 9 a.m. to noon for February 12th or February 26th. Register for Mardi Gras party at 3 p.m. on February 26th at the American Legion Midland. There will be a People's Choice Cajun cook-off with a $20 entry fee. The event will feature a costume and mask contest with raffles, games, and more. It will benefit First Responders Appreciation Day. Contact Alicia at 416-0022 or Holly at 634-7931. Domino's Pizza will be offering thousands of carryout customers tips when they serve as their own delivery drivers. Carryout customers who order online can claim a $3 tip to use on their next online carryout order, according to a press release. The offer is valid online now through May 22nd. The third annual Crawfish Boil Bash and Competition will be April 30th at 1705 West Industrial Avenue. General admission is $35, with VIP access being $50. There will be crawfish, music, and beer presented by Bayou Crawfish and Catering. Gerardo's Casita is now serving brunch on Saturdays. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., customers can enjoy migas, huevos rancheros, chicken fried steak, and more.
Moderna, Pfizer, best for clot risk. Dear Dr. Roach, I was diagnosed with factor V Leiden mutation a few years ago after having a deep vein thrombosis. Then I got COVID-19 in October 2020, but recovered with only mild symptoms. Since I had the factor V mutation, I have chosen not to get a vaccine for COVID. Unfortunately, I was diagnosed with COVID again in December of last year. Now that I have completed quarantine once more, I am really not comfortable with getting the vaccine. Any suggestions? CD. Answer: the factor V Leiden mutation puts people at higher risk for developing blood clots. The Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine was linked to an increased frequency of blood clotting, so I would not recommend that vaccine. Further, that vaccine seemed to provide little protection against the Omicron variant. Unfortunately, previous infection, even two previous infections, also provides little protection against newer variants, and I would strongly advise you to get either the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, neither of which has been linked to abnormal blood clotting. COVID infection, on the other hand, is strongly linked to abnormal blood clotting, for which you have a higher risk because of your factor V Leiden mutation and your history of deep vein blood clot. Although you seem to have done well with both times you have gotten COVID, the third time you may not be so lucky. People with a history of infection who have also gotten these three doses of mRNA vaccine have very high protection against future infections and all the variants known until now.
This is the Dear Abby column. Sister isn't the same after removal of tumor. Dear Abby, my sister, who was a bright and cheerful star for everyone and anyone, was diagnosed with a brain tumor. It was removed with almost 100% margin several years ago. Our family feels unbelievably blessed that she's okay. But she knows she's not the same. This is ignored by some close relatives, but not by me. I will be forever grateful for the fact that she's alive and okay. But she is not the sister I once knew, no matter how hard she may try. I sympathize with her. I listen. I know she struggles because she's missing her old self. I try with heartfelt messages, but ultimately, I feel useless. And, selfish as it sounds, I miss my sister, my true sister, terribly. I know this isn't what she wants, and I will be there for her no matter what the future brings. But what else can I do for her? I want to be anything she needs me to be, as she is more than deserving. Signed, Supportive Sis in Virginia. Dear Sis, while some of her capacity may be diminished, what your sister needs is you to be her stalwart sister and love her for the person she is now. Support her, love her, and appreciate that she's still with you, and quit focusing on those aspects of her personality that are lost. I say this because it isn't healthy for either of you to dwell on the negative at this point when there is so much for which to be thankful. Dear Abby, I divorced my husband of 12 years after catching him cheating with multiple women. I took time for myself and wasn't in a hurry to meet anyone. However, about a year after the divorce, I met a great guy. I was quickly introduced to his family, and they embraced me, inviting me to holidays and birthday parties, etc. 4 years went by, and we started talking about marriage. We have made plans to have our wedding at our favorite beach with family and a couple of friends. There were several people we would have loved to take part, but who couldn't due to the pandemic. Before the ceremony, my husband and I came up with the idea of wearing white face masks to take a group picture. As the masks were being distributed, his family got angry and said they weren't going to do anything they didn't want to do. Then they stomped off and wouldn't participate in the vows or any of the pictures. They're angry with me, and I am hurt. And the hateful things they said also hurt my husband. I don't know how to handle this. Signed, Bad Idea in Florida. Dear Bad Idea, what happened was terrible, and I can't blame you for feeling hurt at the treatment you and your husband received on your wedding day. However, this is the tribe you married into. Your husband's family may have reacted strongly because they objected to having their faces covered in a photo or to face masks in general. If it was the latter, it's a shame they felt they had to take a political stance while you were celebrating your nuptials. Try to be forgiving. However, if you are abused again, recognize it may be time to distance yourselves and concentrate on your side of the family rather than your husband's. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.